Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, I've been really excited over the last maybe few months, the more dash cam footage that I have been seeing online. Now, whether that's because I'm subscribed to some Facebook pages, which primarily show dash cam footage or not, one thing that I do love to pay attention to, and actually I'm noticing a lot of news programs are using dash cam footage as news stories these days. But anyway, what I do pay attention to is the brand of the camera that's being used. Because as we know, most dash cams on the footage do put some sort of label or something in the bottom corner that tends to give away what the make and model of the dash cam is. Now, fortunately, a lot of them are Navman dash cams. And you can tell, not just because of the branding, but usually the quality is a little bit above what you sometimes see from other brands. Now, I have to remind people, because I talk to a lot of people who either reach me directly via text or email or phone call talking about dash cams, and they think the investment is quite big. Well, ladies and gentlemen, $159 as a recommended retail price could land you a Navman dash cam. It would just be a front-facing camera, but it will give you high-definition footage with a wide-angle, GPS-tagged video, all of those features that you would expect. $159, and that's recommended retail price, so always do shop around. It's called the MyView 755, and they're all worth checking out. You can always go online and look at footage captured from those types of dash cams and make a decision for yourself. That's what I always recommend people do. In fact, I have compared most of the big brands up against each other all at the same time, so you can always look for those videos as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get on with a cracker big show.
Razem raz ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
A really good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever it is that you are listening, and wherever you are listening, in fact, whether it's in the car or whether you're in lockdown, like most of Sydney and Melbourne is at the moment. I have a glass of red wine in front of me today. And as you know, I made that run to a Dan Murphy's just before things got really serious here. And I stocked up on a few bottles that we would just talk about for the podcast, cheap bottles of wine. Tonight, $15. Debortley wood-fired Heathcote Shiraz. It's a pretty simple red wine, to be honest. It's one of those ones that suits a Thursday where, you know, it's not a special occasion. I mean, it's as special as it is to talk to you every day, but this is something that you just enjoy after work where it's not a celebratory moment. You're just having a good glass of wine. And honestly, even though it's called wood-fired, I do think it does go very well with a lot of meats, barbecues, things like that. I know we're coming into spring, so it definitely starts to make more and more sense to start thinking about barbecue weather. Now, we have a bit of a show going on today. I'm going to talk a lot about mobile phone accessories. Now, obviously with Apple, MagSafe has been a big new feature added to the iPhone 12. There's some news around some accessories that now primarily focus on MagSafe, including from Apple, which we'll talk about. Funnily enough, Apple didn't make a big song and dance about these new product announcements, but we'll talk about them today, including backing up your device. And this is an important one that we will touch on. We're then going to jump into cloud computing. Now, normally, this is the conversation that would be reserved for enterprise and not a podcast like this, but cloud computing is absolutely coming to your home. And I'm going to talk about what that is, what it means, and what it could mean for your next computer purchase or laptop purchase, whatever it may be. So it's going to be a bit of a variety show today. I'm very excited. A bit of a mix of news. Now, before I forget, I was on Sunrise earlier this week and I had a few messages from people who saw that segment. And thanks to those who do reach out and do recognize the name. They probably don't know the face if they just listen to the show, but people were saying, you know, about it was a streaming services segment. So I was on there talking about just how many there are at the moment. And, you know, realistically, if you signed up to all of them, you're looking at a couple of $100 per month in terms of cost. So it can get very expensive if you don't remember what you're subscribed to. In fact, just before recording this show, I got the reminder from Apple that my free trial was about to expire. I think they gave me a 1-year free trial when I had a new iPad or something like that. Anyway, I managed to cancel that before it starts to charge me, because I honestly just don't watch anything on Apple TV. But one thing that I didn't, that didn't make the cut in that Sunrise segment, was an app that I use to save me from looking for a particular show across every single streaming service while I'm on the couch. And it's an important one because sometimes I could spend an hour looking for something to watch and then I'm tired and I'm pretty much not going to watch what I've eventually found. It's an app called Just Watch. It's available free, Apple, iPhone, Android, whatever it is. You basically tell the app what streaming services you're subscribed to, whether it's Prime, Stan, Netflix, whatever. And then when you search for something in there, it tells you where it is. And it will also tell you that if it's not on any of the streaming services, where you can go and rent it or buy it, and it will actually do price comparisons. So you could get it from, say, Google Movies, or you could get it from Apple, and it will give you some different price options there as well. So a really handy app that I recommend to people. It's absolutely free. If you are someone who's subscribed to multiple services, this can be just a really nice way on your phone. Type in, gosh, I would love to watch Twister. And you open up the app and you type in Twister and there it is. It tells you exactly where you can go and watch it. FYI, it's on Stan. So that's a really important one. Now, let's get into the rest of the show where we're not going to talk about streaming services. That was on Sunrise. Now, we had some exciting news this week and, you know, it's exciting for me. You're going to have to tell me if this is actually exciting news or not. But an announcement from SanDisk where they're effectively going to sell a wireless charger. Now, a lot of people have wireless chargers these days. I think the best place for one is your bedside table. When you get to bed, you put your phone on there and you can get to sleep. Don't have to look around fiddling for cords, especially at nighttime when it might be dark. Or if in the middle of the morning, you're a bit of a fumbler and you just want to grab your phone to see what's happened overnight. Beyond that, it is a wireless charger, but it also is a wireless backup device. Sounds interesting. So this is effectively a charging pad that when you put your phone on top, it uses an app that you would install onto the phone, iPhone or Android again, and it would back up your content to a hard drive that is built into the wireless charger. Now, it comes in two sizes, 64 gig or 128 gig. Nothing larger than that, which is a bit surprising, but if you're somebody who has a 64 gig iPhone or a 128 gig iPhone, it's effectively going to be able to replicate everything from your phone onto that device. The other interesting thing, and I've tested products like this before from SanDisk, if you do the backup, and then yes, your phone breaks, goes into the beach, whatever it is, when you get a new phone, you install the app, you log in, you put the phone back onto the charger, and you can synchronize that data back. It's that simple. You can obviously take that hard drive, plug it into a computer if you need to, but it's a really nice way of doing offline backups. The one time that I absolutely recommend people have something like this is when they travel. Having a backup device for your mobile phone, whether that's a USB key that plugs into a USB-C port on an Android device, they do have similar USB keys for iPhones as well that you can get while you're traveling. But doing a backup sync onto something else is so good because we do take most of our holiday snaps when we used to take holidays on our phones. And if you can do an offline backup because of data roaming charges and things like that, in terms of going to the cloud, the offline backup sometimes makes a lot of sense. So I think this is a really interesting product. I do think it does need a 256 or a 512 storage capacity. I'm surprised it maxes out at 128. It'll cost you $169 for the 64 gig and $199 for the 128. If you're somebody who just doesn't like the cloud, doesn't trust the cloud, this could be a really good offline backup solution. And honestly, I just want you to have a backup. I don't care if you're using offline, cloud, whatever it is. Please do not have a smartphone full of photos that is not being backed up because trust me, you won't know when these things are going to fail and they absolutely do. Now, speaking of smartphones, TCL have sent me their latest phone. It's the TCL 20 Pro 5G. Now, it's a long name, but it's a pretty interesting device. We're talking about a Android smartphone, not very touched in that way. It's Android, but TCL haven't gone overboard in tweaking it to suit their audience. It's pretty much Android as you'd expect it. No huge surprises there. You've got a large, I think it's 6.5-inch display. It's a tall screen. Something that's really important about this is they haven't made the phone particularly wide. They've made it quite tall though. I can still get my thumb from one end to the other one-handed, which is a nice thing. And maybe that's just my thumb over so many years being able to stretch further than an average human. I'm evolving in that way. But Power button on the side, volume rocker, headphone jack is still there, which is a nice thing to see, USB-C charging. And on the other side is what they call a smart key. You can program that to do whatever you like. If you are someone who uses the calculator a lot, you can get it to open the calculator whenever you press that button. It could be the camera. It could be whatever. It could be Facebook. It's got fingerprint sensor in the display. Again, something that I've loved from many premium smartphones, and it works extremely fast, which has been a nice thing to see as well. The other thing that I'm going to say is that the screen itself, obviously TCL, mostly known for making TVs, it's got this Next Vision technology. It's actually a really beautiful screen. It's vivid, the colors pop. Even in direct sunlight, it's got amazing brightness to really shine. It's a very impressive display. You've got a punch hole camera on the front, and you've got four whopping big cameras on the back. You've got two LED flashes. It's pretty impressive. It can take multiple SIM cards. So if you're someone who has a work SIM and a personal SIM, you can stick them inside. And it's got, I think it's 256 gigs of storage. I'll triple check that, but I'm pretty sure it's 256 gigs of storage, which is exceptional. Plus it has a micro SD card slot. So you can have 256 gig, put an SD card in, up to another terabyte in there. It's pretty darn handy. Battery life has been pretty good, at least a day. I charge every night. It's very rare that I don't get to a charger in the evening. Hell, we're in lockdown, but I easily got through the day, and that's with pretty solid use. You know, this is me doing a fair bit of streaming on there. I stream a lot of music. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do work my phones pretty hard. It is a 5G device as well, which does consume more battery power than a 4G phone just because it has to work to connect to those types of networks and also jump off and on them. Now, the biggest thing about this device, though, is that while it's got the pedigree of a premium smartphone, it hasn't got the price of one. $799 is the recommended retail price for this. Now, if I'm not selling this to you, but it's kind of doing it on its own. If, for example, you also wanted a TV, just, you know, maybe you wanted a television. If you were to buy this device between July 15th and July 29th, now I know that you're hearing this already within that time period, so I'm putting the pressure on, then you can get a TV. TCL will toss in let me get the screen size, I think it's 43-inch, I don't want to get it wrong, 43-inch TCL TV, valued at $600. You'll get it with the $800 phone. So, do you know someone who needs a TV? Or do you know someone who needs a new phone and a TV? Because $599 plus $799 is quite a bit, something, maths. And if you can actually go and get both of them at $799, holy moly, that's a cracker deal. Now, the TV itself isn't exactly a dud. It's not like this is TCL's bargain basement TV. It does still run Android TV. So it's got all these smart TV apps on it. It's got Chromecast built in and things like that. And what's more is that as this phone starts to evolve, it's going to integrate itself so much more to TCL televisions, as well as integrations with Windows and other tablets. Now, a lot of that is not released yet, so I don't want to harp on about that part too much. But the device itself is extremely impressive. If you're someone who wants a more premium feel to a phone, doesn't want to spend over $1,000, at $799, I am beyond impressed. It's a very nice device. I've got mine in a kind of lovely pearl blue. It's a little bit Tiffany blue, if I'm honest, but it also does come in a black, I believe, so if you want something a bit more manly. One other thing before I wrap up, and I know I've been harping on about this phone for long enough. It actually ships with a silicone case, and I'm glad they do that because while it's a gorgeous phone, I would hate to scratch the back of it. And a silicone case is peace of mind for anybody. It means that I can put it down. I can still see the beautiful blue that is on the back, but it's absolutely being protected, which is good for when you eventually want to resell the phone, hand it down, or even if you just want your phone to not look too scuffed and roughed up. So anyway, check it out. You'll find plenty of reviews everywhere else. Stay tuned to The Australian on Tuesday, where you'll see my written piece on this phone. But spoiler alert, I've kind of just covered it for you right now. After this, we're going to talk about phone accessories. I've talked about a phone. I've talked about a different phone accessory. Let's talk about some savings, some batteries, and some more batteries. It's actually a very quick one. Now, Apple have had the iPhone 12 on the market now for a little while. That's been, 8 months, 9 months? And they had three models, the iPhone 12 mini, iPhone 12, iPhone 12 Max, or is it Pro Max? Whatever. They have their larger one. And the iPhone 12 mini was what I thought potentially a good idea, because maybe not everybody would want a big phone. As you know, phones are certainly getting bigger. And maybe Apple thought that, hey, if we have a mini, it fits better in the hand, maybe a bit better for ladies or people with small hands. Anyway, it launched at $1,199. It's now been reduced by $300 down to $899. So if you just want an iPhone 12 and you don't care about the size of it, you can now get one for under $1,000. And that's a cracker deal. Considering what we just spoke about, for an extra $100, you're going to get an Apple. Yes, it won't have the same screen size. It won't have the amount of cameras. It's only got two on the back and so on. But it could be a cracker deal. What it does tell you, though, is that this device is failing. Not just necessarily from a hardware point of view, but from a sales point of view. Apple do not do discounts on devices, especially at such a high amount. This is surprising, and it means that they need to move this stock away. And it's interesting too, because obviously we're coming up to September reasonably quickly this year. What are they going to do with these? They'll have a surplus of stock. They want them away so they can actually, you know, replace it with iPhone 12S or iPhone 13, whatever they're going to call it. Personally, I don't see them calling the next iPhone the iPhone 13. I want to make that statement. I want to be on the record. I mean, let's be very honest. Apple have a very large market in China, a very large market. They're also in some ways very much influenced by what the Chinese think. We've seen a lot of instances where Apple has done things to please the Chinese market. I would be very shocked if Apple has the guts to call the next iPhone the iPhone 13, because that's an unlucky number. There would be many hotels. I've stayed in plenty of hotels that don't have a 13th floor, because not a single person from China would stay a night on a 13th floor of a hotel. Trust me, the number 13 is very much considered by them a very unlucky number. I would think it would be a huge problem for their market in China to do that. I would absolutely be blown away if the next iPhone is called the 13, but what will they do? I don't think they would skip a number. I think they could go 12S and then 14 and just ignore it, or they can drop the numbers completely and say, you know what? What are we doing? Why are we counting? Who cares? Just call it the iPhone, and you'll have generations. You'll have the 2020 generation, the 2021 generation. Let's just go by years. You're releasing one every year. The number doesn't match to the year. So iPhone 2021. That's it. There's your model. Let's drop the 13, because it's going to be a big problem from a China perspective. Now, speaking of iPhones, MagSafe. MagSafe is one of their, I guess, one of their better features. It's something that really, when it was announced, I went, oh, this is interesting, because yes, it will have, it's got wireless charging, but the MagSafe feature means that you're never going to lose contact with the sweet spot on a wireless charger. Anyone who's ever used a wireless charger knows that if you don't put it on that perfect spot, you may wake up in the morning with a phone that didn't charge a wink that night. So Belkin. Belkin is a company that I strongly believe should be owned by Apple. I don't understand how Belkin has managed to be so good at what they do and not have a clear design link or hardware link to Apple. What they produce is gorgeous. They produce beautiful looking accessories. They make them always at the split second that Apple announces their next product. They have the accessories to go along with it. And this time is a little bit of a no exception, except they've taken things a step further. Gosh, I'm losing my words. MagSafe technology is coming to more and more accessories. Now, what Belkin has announced this week is really quite nice. We're starting off with a magnetic fitness mount. So this is what looks like a hockey puck with a strap that you can wrap around handlebars of your bike. You can wrap it around exercise equipment. You could literally, or you could just stick it to anything that's metal. So if you've got a metal surface, wall, filing cabinet, you could stick this mount onto that surface, and your iPhone with MagSafe, has to be iPhone 12, remember, don't try this with an iPhone 11, it will fall off. It will absolutely stick to it like glue. And that's great. That means that you could be following a workout. You could be using it to watch a Netflix video while you're on your bike, using it for Google Maps directions, whatever the case may be. That's a really cool accessory. They've also announced a magnetic portable wireless charger. And this is actually going to tie into something we'll talk about next as well. But with MagSafe, it means that you can transfer obviously energy and have it stuck together nicely. So if you've got a wireless charger, a portable wireless charger, which is basically a big battery with wireless charging on one side, it means that it could effectively hold onto the phone while you're using it. So you could be on the phone holding that battery on the back, not worrying about whether it's sitting on that sweet spot still. And Belkin have absolutely released a monster 10,000 milliamp hour battery that you can use with it. It actually is so big it covers up the cameras, but they've actually put a recess in it so it can still sit snug on the back of the phone. Now, just on that product, because it was sent to me and I do not have an iPhone 12. Hi, Apple. But I do have a Pixel 5, which has wireless charging, as well as obviously I had the TCL 20 Pro 5G, which has wireless charging. It worked with those devices as well, just without the magnetic component. So if you do have a battery like this, don't think it's only for iPhone, even though it kind of actually says that specifically on the box. It actually still will wirelessly charge other devices as well. They've also now got on sale a magnetic portable wireless charger pad. Now, this is interesting because this may be something you put on your bedside table, but because it's got MagSafe and it's got a very long cord, the wireless charger itself is very, very small. And that means that you could actually pick up the phone and use it while the MagSafe charger is still stuck to the back of the device, making it very handy and very useful. Now, the other thing that they have announced, and I'm curious to try this, I'm very, very curious to try this, is a device that is called the magnetic phone mount with face tracking. This is a stand for your iPhone using MagSafe, obviously, so it can be held up, but it uses an app on the iPhone to follow your face. So if you're recording a video, you can actually get it to follow you around a kitchen. Maybe you're doing a cooking video. If you're doing something in your room, you could get it to record while you're moving around the room. Literally, it will turn to follow you using face tracking. It does not, however, integrate with things like Microsoft Teams or Zoom, where you may want it to follow you around while you're doing something. It's a standalone app that is what really makes the hardware work with the application itself, but a very, very cool idea. So plenty coming from Belkin. As always, I always have said, their accessories just stand above everybody else. They look Apple-esque. And if you're buying an Apple product, it makes sense that the design flows from the product to the accessory, and Belkin seems to pull that off in spades. Lastly, before we get into the big news from Microsoft around cloud computing, Apple have announced a new product. It's called a MagSafe charging device. So if you've got an iPhone 12 and you don't want the one from Belkin, and I should have been clear, Belkin actually have two. One is small that exposes the cameras, and one is very big that covers the cameras. But if you want one that has an Apple logo on the back and not a Belkin one, then Apple now has an extendable battery that you can stick onto the back of any iPhone 12 and it will charge. It will charge it wirelessly. That's it. That's what it does. The problem is that it is a small battery, meaning you may get an extra 50% if you're almost down to zero. So you may get through as an emergency. It's not really going to be something that will double your battery life. But the cost is what I think is the biggest problem. $133, and I should have been clear, $133 for the Apple one, that should give you an extra 50% in an iPhone 12. And let me give you the costs of the Belkin one, because it's only fair to do that. The small Belkin one is $59. That one looks just like the one that Apple announced, given it exposes the cameras and allows you to still use them. So we're talking about $59. Whereas if you want the big dog, the big 10,000 milliamp hour battery, yeah, we're talking about $79. So again, $79 compared to what Apple has done for $133 to get the Apple logo. I think I know which one I'd pick, even though the Belkin one looks pretty damn sexy. I'd pick the Belkin one. Now, let's get into the future of computing, because guys, you've been focusing on buying computers and making sure the specs of your computers are important. Microsoft is about to change all of that. Now, my career is in IT. I'm not a journalist. I don't work in any other industry. I'm an IT guy. Left year 12, got into tech, fixing computers, going out to client sites, working on servers, infrastructure, and things like that. I've had a career with multiple companies, and one thing that I have noticed in large enterprises, and usually for call centers and customer service places, is that they would use a terminal computer. They wouldn't necessarily have a laptop or a full-blown desktop because they didn't require power to do the work that they were doing. They would need access to email and maybe their enterprise systems like SAP or Oracle or something like that to process orders, whatever the case is that they're doing. Now, in an enterprise, what you would normally do in for those kind of people who are very low power consumers from a resources point of view is you would use a virtual environment for them to log on to. And what that means in those days was that you would have a very large server sitting in a data center, and all of these people in a call center, for example, would use what we call dumb terminals. It was a very small, low-powered box. It had a very light version of Windows on it. And on the desktop was one shortcut, and it would be to log into their virtual desktop. And they would log into their virtual desktop, which was actually a server sitting in our data center. And in that environment, they would have access to their email, to their corporate system, so that they could do the work they needed to do. Their computers were literally sending clicks to that screen and receiving back the display. So we're talking about network bandwidth being much higher, but in terms of processing power, none of it happened on the computer at their desk. It all happened in our data center. Citrix was one type of application for that. There were plenty of others. It was a really low cost way to get your people who don't need processing power to get through their day. Very low risk. Essentially, if that computer on their desk died, who cares? Because it was just a dumb terminal. Literally, we'd call it a dumb terminal. And we'd walk up, we'd rip it out of the desk, put another one in there, and all they would do is double-click on that shortcut again and use their login to access their profile that had their email and things like that. Very normal thing in enterprises. Now, Microsoft this week has said that while they currently do Office 365, which is your Office applications in the cloud, meaning you can go to Office 365, log in, access Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Outlook, all those types of things. Anyone can do that. What they've announced now is that Microsoft Windows 365 is coming. Now, that literally means cloud computing for everybody. And what you when you think about that, and the example I've given you already, If I do have a son, he's just very young. But when he gets older and he says to me, I need a computer for school, well, I'll have a couple of choices at that point. I can go and buy a computer that he can install applications on and he can do his work on and things like that. Or I could get him by then a dumb laptop or a dumb terminal to use and have him sign up to Microsoft Windows 365. And that would mean that if his laptop died, no big deal, get another one. And it would be cheap. If his desktop died, no big deal, dump it, because everything's in the cloud. And I don't mean everything is in just your files, everything, all your applications, everything that you see when you turn on your Windows computer today would be in a cloud environment. I'm sure you're paying a monthly subscription to do that. That would be Microsoft's plan. But what you would also be able to do is say, for my son, he only needs to have the power of his virtual desktop to do Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and web browsing. And then maybe as he gets older and he starts moving into design or something like that, and he may need access to Photoshop or something similar, which requires some processing power, CAD, whatever. Then I could log into the cloud and dial up the power of his virtual desktop computer. And again, that means that whatever computer he's on, he could be borrowing somebody else's. He could be in an internet cafe if they still exist in the future. And he could just sign into Windows 365 on any computer and access his desktop. Again, that means still having a fancy wallpaper. It still means having your shortcuts on your desktop where you want them. It's literally what you would normally see when you use a desktop or laptop today, but you've had to do one extra click to get there. So you're logging into what's the dumbest terminal. It could be an Apple computer. You could log into a Mac and then connect to your virtual Windows environment. It may actually be very beneficial for those who want to run Windows and Mac. But this is absolutely a smart move by Microsoft. I do think this does pay off. I understand that this announcement that they've made probably is more geared towards the enterprise. And it will absolutely appeal to those, because And every IT department in the enterprise is so sick of trying to find ways to make people back up their computers, whether it's through automatic folder sync or something else. We're all sick of it. So if we could just have everybody working on a virtual machine, that means that everything is safe. Everything is backed up. Everything's protected. Obviously, the one big caveat to all of that is your internet connection. And if your internet connection sucks, your experience sucks. Even though it actually doesn't use that much bandwidth, because like I said, all it's actually sending up and down the pipe are your clicks and mouse movements, and all that you're receiving is a streaming display, which isn't actually that much, because usually, unless you're streaming video, you're not sending every pixel of the screen back and forth. If it's just text, you can imagine you're only sending small bits and bytes to make that work or make that visible. So your bandwidth is still the most important thing. If your internet goes down at home, guess what? I can't even log into what would be your virtual desktop. That is a problem. Look, if we're honest, the internet is becoming like electricity. It's there, it's on, it should always be working. Now, the one thing that I do see absolutely coming after this, maybe even this year, you'll start to hear murmurs of it. And it's something I spoke about. I wish I had a podcast when I did. It would have been 5 or 6 years ago. I was talking to some friends who I knew who worked at Xbox. And this was when the original Xbox existed. And we were talking about gaming, and the reason that I loved gaming consoles is because my experience is the same as yours. If I'm playing a game, it's the same box. It's not like PC gaming, where if you've got a better graphics card than me, you might see more detail in a game than I would. That potentially gives you a competitive advantage, and so on. And we were talking about that and what that meant. And I said, I told them the story about how we have these dumb terminals in enterprises. And at what point will an Xbox just be a dumb terminal? Why isn't the game processing, the video processing, all happening in the cloud? Why should I have to spend over $1,000 or less, slightly less, for a brand new Xbox or a PlayStation 5? Why am I buying the hardware? I don't need the hardware. I want to play the game. So why can't we have the games running on a virtual server and only stream the actual content? Because that's all I care about. I'll send the clicks and taps from my controller. You stream back the video content. Why do I need to process the gaming in my house? Process the gaming yourself, Microsoft. And Microsoft, if they're being honest, could do that. I mean, we imagined it a long time ago. And now we're seeing the desktop environment potentially going completely virtual. So when is gaming consoles going to do the same? Why the heck are we installing games on our phones, on our computers, on our gaming consoles? It makes no sense. Why would we have the hardware? Put the hardware in a big whopping data center somewhere and just let me play it. And then, you know what? Why would you even have a console? Why wouldn't it just be an app on my smart TV? Makes sense, doesn't it? Food for thought, but your next PC purchase, if it's coming up in the next 3 or 4 years, it may be a dumb computer. And that would be just a laptop with a big old battery and a display, obviously with a keyboard and touchpad. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Technology Uncorked. Now, as always, I do give out my mobile phone number for you to text me. And actually, I've had quite a few texts this week, and it's been awesome to hear from you. Had some interview suggestions, had some questions come through. 0467-439-078. I literally love hearing back from you all at any time. Just to get your feedback, your questions, your comments on anything that I've spoken about, or anything you need a follow-up question on that helps you make a better buying decision. That's absolutely why I'm here. 0467-439-078. Now, as always, we'll be back again next week. We're always going to have more to talk about. This week was a good week. I was worried we'd have almost nothing to talk about, but thank you to those companies that do make some noise each and every week to allow us to talk about tech as much as I absolutely love it. Now, if you do have any questions, please do text me. If you've never left a review of this show, you're always welcome to do that through the Apple Podcasts app. Leave a review, 1 star or 5 stars, plus a comment is always appreciated so I can hear from you exactly what you think, where I can improve, what else we can do differently. Now, the other thing I will do, I'll actually give a shout out to Bowen's Garage. Bowen's Garage is a podcast that I now frequent on. I'm now on there once a week and doing a very short and sweet tech update. Now, this is a cars focused podcast, but they are veering a little bit, I guess, from a car's perspective into the tech world. And I jump on, sometimes talk about topics that we do talk about on this show, but it's usually in a much more shorter and succinct segment that I do, almost just like my radio segments that I already do as well. So, and just on that, Hope FM, 2NM in the Hunter Valley, 2HD in Newcastle. And I feel like there's one more that I'm missing. Obviously, Channel News Asia in Singapore as well. I think there's someone else I feel bad if. Oh, and Gold, not Gold. Gosh, I almost said Gold FM. Hot Tomato in the Gold Coast. That's why I said Gold. Ladies and gentlemen, have an amazing week. Look after yourselves. Stay safe if you're in lockdown. Stay safe if you're not in lockdown because, hey, you never know when you will be back in this situation. Look after each other. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.